السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إله الأولين والآخرين. وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، Welcome to today's Quranic progression lesson, and we continue with our tafsir of Surah Al-Mutaffifin. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we're continuing from verse 26, but as a brief recap, over the last couple of weeks we've been dealing with the portion of the surah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the reward of the illiyin, those people of the righteous, those people of righteousness and piety, whose record of deeds will be in the highest of company, in the illiyin. And then Allah Azza wa Jal mentions some of the reward of the illiyin, of those people whose record is in the illiyin. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, for example, that they will be in everlasting bliss with everything that that word bliss entails and includes. And that Allah Azza wa Jal mentions that they will be reclining on couches, ara'ik. As we said, that means that they are extended couches full of cushions and covered with a canopy, that they will be thereon gazing, whether they are gazing upon their kingdom or looking upon their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala when Allah azza wa jal allows for that, or looking and speaking to one another. They will be enjoying the reward of Jannah and the blessings and the bliss of Jannah. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla says that you will see that and you will recognize that from the radiance and the bliss that you will see on their faces of that na'im. That as a result of the na'im, you will see the bliss that the radiance of the bliss that they are experiencing in Jannah. And that's what we mentioned last week. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned to us some of that which the people of Jannah will drink. And that is that they will be given a drink of rahiq. And we said that the word rahiq refers to the purest, best type of wine. The purest, best quality type of wine. And then Allah Azza wa Jal said that it is makhtum. Makhtum meaning that it is sealed. And that's where we kind of left our tafsir last week, at verse number 25. So inshallah ta'ala today, we continue with verse 26. And there is a connection, there is an overlap or an extension between the two verses. Because when Allah Azza wa Jal said that the drink of ar-rahiq is makhtum, it is sealed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says in verse number 26, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ خِتَامُهُ مِسْكٍ وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. It's sealed, perfumed with a fragrant herb. Let those who strive, strive for this. And that's the translation of Professor Abdul Harim, Dr. Mustafa Khattab. His translation is, whose last sip will smell like musk, so let whoever aspires to this strive. In Sahih International, the last of it is musk, so for this let the competitors compete. And the translation of Muhsin Khan, the last thereof, meaning that wine, will be the smell of musk, and for this let all those who strive who want to strive. And for this let all those strive who want to strive. And then in brackets, hasten earnestly to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I think we mentioned this last week. I think very briefly, I said that the word makhtum in the previous verse, verse 25, when Allah Azza wa Jalla says rahiq makhtum, that is a sealed nectar or a sealed drink of wine, that is connected to the first word of verse 26, khitamuhu misk, and that is that its seal or that its end will be a fragrant herb or a misk. Misk means musk, right? Misk means musk. The herb, the fragrant herb here seems to be the translation of Professor Abdul Harim. Everyone else just said that it is musk. And that's what the word misk means, musk. So there are two qira'as in this verse, verse number 26. There are two ways that it is read. The first way is the reading of the majority. And that is 9 of the 10 qura'. 9 of the 10 qura', they read khitamuhu misk, right, as we read now. But the other reading of this is by Al-Kisai. And Al-Kisai is from the Qurra of Kufa, as we know, one of the 10 from the Qurra of Kufa. He was also a great imam in Arabic grammar. He's considered to be one of the foremost imams in that field of his generation and world time. And for those of you that know anything about the history of Arabic grammar, you will know that there were two primary schools or methodologies of Arabic grammar, one attributed to the city of Basra and the other one attributed to the city of Kufa. Al-Kisa'i is considered to be from the Kufa side, and he was a contemporary of Sibawayh. They both had one and the same teacher, as we mentioned, I think, last week, Al-Khalil ibn Ahmed. Both of them studied Sibawayh and Al-Kisa'i. Sibawayh went towards the Basra side, Al-Kisa'i went towards the Kufa side. They have two different methodologies of Arabic grammar in terms of what you can or can't do, what is considered to be correct or incorrect in terms of Arabic grammar. Al-Kisa'i is considered to be one of the major leaders of the Kufan method or the Kufan school. In his recitation, he recites Khatamuhu, not Khitamuhu, but Khatamuhu. Khitam means the end of something, and Khatam means the seal of something. Makhtumun Khatamuhu Misk. And so, as you can see here, there are two ways of reading that, and therefore there are two different translations, different words being used, and therefore two tafsirs that you will find, if not more. It's also mentioned that the companion Abu Darda radiallahu anhu said in his commentary of this verse, he said that the khitamuhu misk refers to sharabun abyad. It refers to a clear or white drink that is as clear as silver. That they will drink at the end of their drink, meaning that this is what they will drink at the end. So as they finish their wine, this is what they end with. And that's very similar, as you will see, for example, in certain areas or in certain places, usually in royalty or people that are considered to be very wealthy, the nobility and so on. They normally have a drink after their main drink. So it's something which they, like in alcoholic terms, I don't know exactly what that drink is, but I think that there's a drink that they use after their main meal, after they finish everything. There's just something small that they will have. This is something similar, I think, in terms of meaning. Obviously, in the Akhirah and Jannah, there is nothing negative about the drinks in terms of intoxication or anything haram. But this seems to be the position of the commentary of Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. He said that it is a sharabun abyad mithrul fiddah. It is a white drink similar to silver in color. Yakhtimuna biha akhira sharabihim. It is something which they will drink at the end. If a person from the dunya, he says, was to put his hand into that drink and then take it out, the fragrance of that musk would be so great that there would not be a living thing except that it would find its smell. لَمْ يَبْقَ ذُو رُوحٍ إِلَّا وَجَدَ رِيحَ طِيبِهَا. There wouldn't be a living thing except that it would be able to smell the scent of that musk. That's Allah Azza wa Jalla referring to how pleasant it will smell. One of the interesting things, and we'll come on to this now, is, or we'll come on to it later rather, is the meaning of that and the significance of that, the pleasant smell that will come at the end of this drink, khitamuhu misk. Al-Imam al-Tabari, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his tafsir of this verse, he gives three positions as to what this refers to, khitamuhu misk or khatamuhu misk, right? Both of them are readings that are mutawatir, relayed by mass transmission, what it actually refers to. And he gives three positions. The first position is that it refers to a mix. The meaning of the word makhtum is mamzuj or makhlut, that it is mixed with something else. That's what it actually means. So not that it's seal or that its ending is musk, but rather that the drink itself is mixed with musk. It is mixed with musk. And this is the position of the famous companion Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. This is attributed to him that he said, خَلْتُهُ وَلَيْسَ بِخَاتَمٍ يَخْتِمُهُ or يَخْتُمُهُ. It means a mix and not a seal that seals it, or not something that is drunk at the end. This is the statement of Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. And it is also known, it is said that this is also the statement of his famous student Alqamah. Alqamah being one of his major students, the major students of Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu an. In another narration of Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu an, he said that the word khitamuhu misk, what it refers to here, is not a seal or the ending, but rather it refers to a khalt. And a khalt is like perfume, something which is mixed. So you have something which is, which is a mix of perfumes. So you will often get, for example, perfumes that are pure, and perfumes are a mixture of perfumes. So you may get, for example, oud, which is a very common and popular Arab perfume, or Arab perfume. That's an oil that is pure. You can get rose, wird, which is pure, anbar, which is pure. And then you can get a khalt. A khalt means a mixture between some of these different fragrances. So you can get, for example, an anbar and oud mix, a rose and oud mix, right? And that's very common, as is well known. And so he says, radiallahu anhu bin Mas'ud, this is, he says that that's what it's referring to. Khitamuhu misk refers to it being a khalta. It is a mixture between the rahiq and between this misk. It is a mixture, and that is what they are drinking. That's one position, as At-Tabari rahimahullah ta'ala mentions. The second position that he also mentions is that it refers to the vessel that it is holding, that's holding that drink. And so he says the meaning of the word makhtum is mutayyan. Mutayyan, that tinuhu misk, that the vessel, because the vessel is made out of clay or some type of pottery, that is what is misk. And so that's what is so fragrant about the drink, that even the vessel is a vessel that is of misk, of musk. And that's known in from the hadith in the that speak about the descriptions of Jannah. Like, for example, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was describing the houses of Jannah, the bricks of Jannah, he said, and its cement will be of musk. So when he was describing the houses of Jannah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that they will be a brick of gold and a brick of silver. And then he says, and its cement, right, the cement in between the bricks that hold it together, will be of musk. And so therefore, that's like something known, that musk, like all of Jannah smells amazing. All of Jannah is fragrant. All of Jannah is beautiful. Because that's also something which people like. They like pleasant smells. And smell is something which is extremely powerful when it comes to the senses and the way that people respond. And that's why people love to perfume themselves, right? And that's why actually we're told to be careful. For example, women in Islam, in the Sharia, are told to be very careful in terms of who they apply that perfume in front of, because that's something which draws people, it grabs their attention. And it's also something which people really enjoy. Food, a major part of it, said like some 70% of our taste is to do with smell. What you eat, you actually smell it first. So if it doesn't smell nice, even if it tastes good, that's going to affect you. And that's why people who don't have a great sense of smell sometimes can't really taste the food. Like everything to them just tastes kind of bland. And that was something which, you know, we know in COVID, because a lot of people during COVID, they lost their sense of smell. And one of the things that they would say then is that they didn't really taste food, like everything just tasted bland because of the close connection between the taste and the smell that we have. That's why companies, for example, hotels, big brands, they would also always use a stable or a staple perfume in their businesses. It's just the scent, it's like part of the branding that they have. So if you go into certain hotels, whichever part of the world you go into, that brand uses the same scent. It's just something which you can automatically smell, especially in the lobby area. You'll go in and they have all of these, all of these contraptions that just blow out that kind of scent, that spray every so often, just so that it smells that way. And so it's a massive part of what we do. And that's why, for example, if you sometimes go down a road, or, you know, like this is very common, for example, when there's lots of people and there's lots of rubbish maybe, or like on Hajj, you will often experience this because of the multitudes of people in Mina and in other places, that sometimes you walk down an alleyway or you walk down a road and you just get a very foul stench because of the rubbish that's there, or maybe because some impurity has been there or something, and it's a very bad smell. And that really affects you, because number one, it's something which is not very nice to experience. Number two, you want to get out of there. You don't want to be in that area for very long. Number three, like there's just so many negative implications as a result of that smell. And so that's why the Sharia recommends that men, before they go to the masjid, they perfume themselves. The Prophet ﷺ used to love perfume. Aisha said in the hadith that the Prophet said, if anything has been made beloved to me in the dunya, it is women and perfume. And so it is very natural to want good perfume and to use perfume. So everything in Jannah smells amazing, even to the cement. Because cement in the dunya, like things like tarmac, things like cement, things like, you know, like these materials that we often use, even bricks and clay and mortar, they have a very earthy kind of smell. It may not necessarily be an unpleasant smell, but it's not a pleasant smell either. And in big quantities, it can be unpleasant. However, in Jannah, None of that is experienced. Everything in Jannah is amazing, even this manner. That shows to you the beauty of Jannah, number one, and the level of detail that Allah Azza wa Jalla has placed therein. There is nothing that is missed out in Jannah, nothing. Even down to the smallest intricate detail. You know, today if you were to go to certain places, certain hotels, and they're known as the best places in the world to stay or the best hotels in the world, they will literally look at every single small detail. And I've seen documentaries where they will go around and they will, for example, sit in different angles in the room just to see what's visible to that person if they were sitting in that chair. So if I'm sitting in this chair and I look over there to the end of the room and I can see that part of the wall wasn't painted correctly, or some of the paint is peeling off, or maybe some of the carpet's dirty, they will go and fix that, because they're charging people like thousands of pounds for a single night. So every single small detail is extremely important. That's what people do. Now we imagine the detail, therefore, that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to Jannah and placed in Jannah, to the smallest of thing, from the very first moment in Jannah, and then obviously for the rest of eternity. Jannah is amazing in every single aspect. So this position, therefore, amongst some of the scholars of tafsir, as to the meaning of khitamuhu misk, is referring to the mutayyan, the vessel that is being held in, and so on. And this position is attributed to two people according to At-Tabari. The first is Mujahid, rahimahullah ta'ala, Mujahid ibn Jabr, the famous student of Ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhuma. Mujahid said, tīnuhu misk. That it's teen means it's clay, it's pottery, is where the musk will be. And the other scholar, the second scholar, is Ibn Zayd. Ibn Zayd said that it is makhtum, it is sealed, the khamr meaning khitamuhu misk, it will be sealed in something that is made of musk. He said khitamuhu indallahi misk. What it is sealed in Allah, with Allah Azza wa Jal, is musk. وَخِتَامُهَا الْيَوْمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا طِينَ. Whereas as for what it would be sealed in today, it would be made of pottery or clay, right? Because obviously in the olden days, they didn't have glass bottles or plastic bottles and so on. It would usually be some type of either leather vessel or leather kind of pouch, or it would be something made out of clay or some type of pottery. That's what they would use. That's the second position. So far we have the position that it's a mix, as mentioned by Ibn Mas'ud and Alqamah. And the other one is that it's referring to its seal, or the vessel that is kept in, as mentioned by Mujahid and Ibn Zayd. The third position is that the end, or the last of that drink, is what is the musk. That it will be the ending of it. The last sip of it will be musk. The last sip will be the musk. And as Al-Imam At-Tabari rahimahullah ta'ala says, he says, بَالْمَعْنَى ذَٰلِكَ أَنَّ آخِرَ شَرَابِهِمْ يُخْتَمُ بِمِسْكٍ يُجْعَلُ فِيهِ. That the last of the drink that they will drink, or the last sip that they will have within it musk, and that's what they will drink. This statement or this position is reported from a number of the scholars of tafsir. First of all, from Ibn Abbas, the companion, radiallahu anhuma. He said, الْخَمْرُ خُتِمَ بِالْمِسْكِ. It is wine, and he's talking about the two verses together. رحيق مختوم ختامه مسك. He said it is خمر ختم بالمسك. It is wine that its ending is misk. This is also reported from Qatada, رحمه الله تعالى, the famous scholar of tafsir, student of Anas and others. He said عاقبته مسك. His ending will be musk. قوم تمزج لهم بالكافور وتختم بالمسك. It is for a group of people that will have mixed within their drink camphor, kafur, and its ending will be of misk or musk. And al-Dhahak also said something similar. He said, طيب الله لهم الخمر فوجدوا فيها في آخر شيء منها ريح المسك. He said Allah Azza wa Jalla will make their wine pleasant for them and even more pure, and they will find the rest of that, or the ending of that, will be the smell of musk. And likewise, Ibrahim al-Nakha'i, al-Hassan al-Basri, rahimahumullah, also from the scholars of the Tabi'een, they said, عَاقِبَتُهُ مِسْك, that its ending will be of musk. So these are the three positions that you will find amongst the scholars of tafsir. Al-Imam al-Tabari, rahimahullah ta'ala, after mentioning these three positions, as he often does, he gives his own conclusion in terms of what he considers to be the most likely of these three positions, and he says, وأول الأقوال في ذلك عندنا بالصواب قول من قال معنى ذلك آخره وعقبته مسك. He said, and we think that the strongest of those positions is the position of those who said that its ending will be of musk. So he chooses that last position, the third position. So not that it's a mix, not that it's to do with the vessel, but rather it is the ending of that, and that is that it will have a pleasant smell. طيبة الريح. It will have a pleasant smell. إن ريحها في آخر شربهم. يختم لهم بريح المسك, and that is at the end of their drink, meaning as they finish the last sip, it will be something which they will find the pleasant smell of musk therein. He says that the reason why he considers this to be the strongest of the positions is because simply of the Arabic language, that this word khitam or khatam or makhtum, all of these words which come from the same root word, he said that it's always referred to the Arabic language to the ending. It is always referred to as the ending, makhtum, like the khatam al-anbiya, the last of the prophets, or the seal of the prophets, right? The seal here meaning the last of. And so he says that this is the meaning of the word in the Arabic language. It's always to do with the end, or when something is finishing, or the last of, or the end of. He said that's exactly what we know in the Arabic language. He says, for example, you say someone made khatam of the Quran. What does that mean, the word khatam of the Quran? As we all know, it means someone finished the Quran, right? They completed the whole Quran. So he says that even in Arabic language, when it's used in whichever context, it's always referring to the ending of something or the finishing of something. And he says, and therefore there is no other way that this would make sense. He said, for example, if you were to say, he says that there's no other way that this meaning would make sense, because if, for example, we were to take the position that it is referring to the vessels that it's in, then we know, he says, that the people of Jannah, their drink will be from rivers. That's not something which is bought from a shop or has to be contained in some type of vessel, or because it's something which has to be shipped to them, or something which is in small quantities. They will drink from rivers, as Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, فِيهَا أَنْهَارٌ مِنْ مَاءٍ غَيْرِ آسٍ وَأَنْهَارٌ مِنْ لَبَنٍ لَمْ يَتَغَيَّرْ طَعْمُهُ وَأَنْهَارٌ مِنْ خَمْرٍ لَذَّةٍ لِلشَّارِبِينَ وَأَنْهَارٌ مِنْ عَسَلٍ مُصَفًّى. Allah mentions the four rivers of Jannah, the river of milk and the river of water and the river of wine and the river of honey. He says, and so therefore the Quran itself says that it's not going to be in some type of vessel or some type of clay container. He says, so therefore that's not something which you will find. He says also then, in terms of the position of Ibn Mas'ud, that it is a mix. He said that I don't know of anyone in the Arabic language having used the two words synonymously, that one means the other, that the word makhtum or khitam can mean something which is mixed. He said that's not something which I found in the Arabic language. Anyway, as you will see, therefore, as we saw in all of the translations, pretty much, this being the position of, as we said, from the companions Ibn Abbas, from the Tabi'in, the likes of Ibrahim al-Nakhai and al-Hasan al-Basri and Qatada and others, and the position, therefore, that was chosen by al-Imam al-Tabari, alayhi rahmatullahi jami'an, this is the position that you will find that the vast majority of translators also choose, and that is that it's referring to the last of their drink. There is a very interesting statement that is attributed, as Al-Qurtubi mentions, to Ibrahim al-Nakhai, and we said that Ibrahim al-Nakhai was one of those scholars that held this position. He says, because it is normal, why does Allah Azza wa Jalla say this, khitamuhu misk, that the last of their drink or the last sip that they will have will be of musk? He's saying because it is common in the dunya that usually when you drink something, أَن يَكُونَ الْكَدِرُ فِي آخِرِهَا, that usually the end or the last remnants of a drink is the bits and the stuff that you don't really want to drink, they're not pleasant. So if you're drinking tea, that's where the tea leaves will be at the bottom, and that's why people often don't drink like the full cup of tea, because maybe at the bottom there's some of that, you know, that remnant left. Same thing in coffee, same thing in many drinks, that at the end you normally have the bits left, or the last part of the drink isn't necessarily the most pleasant to drink, because some of the, you know, it hasn't been stirred correctly, or it hasn't been made properly, or some of the ingredients that are there have settled at the bottom. And so that's where you find, usually that is very common in many drinks. He says, so people have a habit of not really wanting to drink it to the end, or they will leave that last part, right, the last couple of sips, because they know that it's going to contain other things. He's saying that is the norm of the dunya. So Allah Azza wa Jalla wanted to show the perfection of the blessing of the drinks of Jannah in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes for people the level of description that's given to the blessings of Jannah. Allah Azza wa Jalla describes the drinks of Jannah not in terms of only what they will drink, but Allah focuses on the last sip that they will take. And this is a methodology, by the way, in the Quran, as I think we've touched upon before. And if we haven't, it is a methodology in the Quran that you will see that Allah Azza wa Jalla sometimes focuses on the element of the blessing that is the least thought of, or the least thing that people usually concern themselves with, to show the perfection of it in that context, and therefore that denotes that perfection in what is greater than that is obviously something therefore which is just a given. So if Allah Azza wa Jalla has perfected the last sip of the drink of the people of Jannah, in the sense that, even that will be amazing, then the rest of the drink is, you know, even more reason for it to be amazing. If the last morsel, the last sip, you know, the last of anything that you have, and that's why the Sharia the Sunnah focuses on the reward of the last person to enter into Jannah. But you don't find the reward of the first people to enter into Jannah, like in terms of that level of detail. That's not like the famous hadith, who's the first person to enter and what will he receive and what is the conversation that Allah will have with him. It's the last person to enter into Jannah. And when the hadith says that last person to enter into Jannah will get Jannah and double its amount, or in the other narration, the other wording, 10 times its amount, that shows to you therefore if that's the last person in Jannah and that's what they're receiving, double the amount of the dunya, or 10 times the likes of the dunya in reward, then what about those people above them? What about those people above him? And what about those people who are from the foremost and from the highest people of the levels of Jannah? And so therefore that's a methodology that you will find in the Quran, that Allah Azza wa Jalla will focus on the least, because if the least is amazing beyond description, beyond imagination, then that which is more than that is surely going to be even more amazing, even greater. And so this is the point that Ibrahim al-Nakhai, rahimahullah ta'ala, mentions, and it's an amazing point. And you can see, therefore, the level of understanding, knowledge, wisdom, contemplation, reflection that the scholars of the Salaf had when it came to the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because that's someone who's really thought about these verses and pondered over them, that makes those types of connections, makes those types of links. So that is one of the reasons why he chose that position. Also, that Allah Azza wa Jal actually mentions the khitam and what the khitam will be, to show that it's going to be something which is amazing in terms of the taste, in terms of the scent. And that's why usually sometimes the scent of what is at the end of the drink also isn't always the most pleasant, because that's where, as we said, most of the ingredients have settled. So that last sip or that last part of the drink may be very pungent, may be very strong, because that's where all the main ingredients have now settled. Right? And that's something which you will find, especially in certain types of natural or like you know, like actual drinks that have been made with those types of ingredients. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after mentioning this, then says at the end of this verse, verse 26, وَفِي ذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافِسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. So that those who wish to strive, strive for this, meaning all of these rewards that we've just mentioned within this surah, as well as no doubt elsewhere in the Quran. The word munafasa or tanafus in the Arabic language is to compete with something for something, to compete with someone for something. It is when you compete with another person and you want to gain something at the end at the exclusion of that person, at the exclusion of that person. Al-Imam al-Tabari rahimahullah ta'ala says that the word tanafus means أن ينفس الرجل على الرجل بالشيء يكون له ويتمنى أن يكون له دونه. He says that the word tanafus means a person who is competing with another person because of something that they want to attain, and they want to attain it at the expense of the other person. That's what a tanafus means in the Arabic language. And he says that it comes from the word nafis, and nafis means something which is valuable, something which is precious. And so therefore he says that usually the word munafasa is used when the prize is something which is worthy and great, right? And that's something which no doubt Jannah is, and that's why Allah Azza wa Jal uses this. And this is a contrast between those people. Therefore at the beginning of the surah, what is it that they're doing? They're making tanafus for the dunya. And Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that actually what they should do is make tanafus for the akhirah. And this is the point that was mentioned by Shaykh Muhammad al-Amin al-Shanqiti rahimahullah ta'ala in his tafsir. He says that Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions this verse to show the contrast between the people of Jannah and the people of the dunya. The people of the dunya at the beginning, what were they doing? They're the mutaffifin. They're the people who gather. How do they gather? By oppressing others. They're going to take what's theirs fully and not give to other people what's their rights fully. Why? Because they want to hoard and they want to gain and they want more and they want to be richer and wealthier than everyone else. That's their tanafus. Allah Azza wa Jal says here, well, these people who are the believers, their tanafus is for Jannah. And even though it's usually done at the expense, you know, at the expense of someone else, because you're competing for the same prize, the beauty of the prize of Jannah is that it is not at the expense of anyone else, because everyone that will enter into Jannah will be pleased. No one in Jannah will be jealous of another, will be envious of another. In Jannah, every person is pleased, and every person believes that there is no one better than them. And that is from the way that Allah Azza wa Jalla will remove ghil, ill feelings and animosity and hatred, as Allah mentions in the Quran, that they will be in Jannah, the believers, and Allah Azza wa Jalla will remove from them the ghil. The ghil refers to the ill feelings, animosity, hatred that people usually have in their hearts, which is to some extent natural. When you see someone and you are competing with them, if they're your friends or they're your contemporaries or they're people around you, and so you want to compete with people in some of those things that they have. But Allah Azza wa Jalla removes that from the people of Jannah. That's why the tanafus here can be when Allah says, and let those who wish to strive, strive for this. It could be a comparison not between the believers amongst themselves, but rather between the believers and the disbelievers. That this is what the disbelievers are racing towards or competing for, and that is that they want the dunya, while you should have something that they won't have. Because they're doing it at your exclusion in terms of the dunya, you should compete for something that they will be excluded from, and that is the reward and the prize of the akhirah. And that is the point that was made by Shaykh Muhammad al-Amin al-Shanqiti rahimahullah ta'ala. And he said that therefore the word munafasa is usually used for something which is nafis. You only use the word munafasa if the prize is nafis, meaning that it's something which is worthy, something which is valuable, something which is worth that amount of striving, that amount of effort, that amount of dedication. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he says something similar, and he said the difference between two words that you will find in the Quran, munafasa and musabaqa. Allah Azza wa Jalla says here, وَفِي ذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. Let those who wish to strive for something, let them strive for this. Whereas elsewhere in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the word musabaqa. وَسَابِقُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. Compete with one another. Musabaqa is like a competition. Compete with one another for the forgiveness of your Lord. He says that usually in the Arabic language, the word munafasa, both of them are competing, striving for some type of a prize or goal. He says, but the difference between the two is that usually munafasa is used for something that isn't praiseworthy, and musabaqa is for something which is praiseworthy. And that's why I said that the munafasa here is mentioned in the context between the believers and the disbelievers, because the disbelievers are competing for a prize that isn't worthy, whereas the believers are competing for something which is worthy. And so therefore, because of that contrast, Allah knows best, perhaps that's why the word munafasa is mentioned here, whereas musabaqa is mentioned elsewhere, and that's between the believers themselves. Allah says to the believers, وَسَابِقُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ. Compete between yourselves, compete for Allah's forgiveness and for the Jannah. And as we know, the famous examples of the companions, that they would compete for good, such as Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma, they would often be competing for good. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala also says, so therefore the overlap between these two words, munafasa and musabaqa, both of them referring to some type of competition, is that both of them therefore require striving, they require effort, because whether you're going to compete in the dunya sense or you're going to compete in the akhirah sense, they all require a great deal of effort. And number two, an eagerness for a prize, to achieve a goal, to want something, right? As Allah Azza wa Jalla says, for the forgiveness of Allah, for His Jannah, right? So there's a prize there that you want to gain. And likewise, the people that do it for the dunya, they want wealth, or they want power, or they want some type of materialistic prize. And that's the reason why they are doing what they are doing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore says that if you are really going to compete for something, if you're going to spend your time and effort, dedicate that to something, there is nothing greater or better to dedicate it to than that which is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Imam al-Tabari, going back to his statement, he says, it's as if Allah azza wa jalla is saying, فَلْيَجُدَّ النَّاسُ فِيهِ وَإِلَيْهِ فَلْيَسْتَبِقُوا فِي طَلَبِهِ وَالْتَحْرُسْ عَلَيْهِ نُفُوسُهُمْ. That if people are going to strive for something, compete for something, work hard for something, this is really what is worth them working hard for. Right? And look at the beauty of the way that the Quran directs our attention to what is the greater prize, or where our focus and attention should be. And that is that Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that that's where your focus should be. If everyone else's focus is on the dunya and the prizes and the materialistic possessions of the dunya, the believers, their goal and their focus should be the akhirah. It should be the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that which is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. And so therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَفِي ذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. Let those who wish to strive, let them strive in this cause or for this cause. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then in verse number 27, he says, وَمِزَاجُهُ مِن تَسْنِيمٍ. The translation of Dr. Mustafa Khattab, and this drink's flavor will come from tasneem. And in the translation of Sahih International, and its mixture is of tasneem. In Professor Abdul Halim's translation, mixed with the water of tasneem, and Muhsin Khan, it will be mixed with tasneem. It will be mixed with tasneem. This word tasneem, the word mizaj means to mix. So as we said when we were giving the commentary of Ibn Mas'ud for the previous verse, khitamuhu misk, he said the word khitam means mamzuj. Right? Here Allah Azza wa Jalla uses the word mizaj. And the word mizaj in the Arabic language means something which is mixed with something else. What is it mixed with here? It is mixed with something called tasneem. What is tasneem? Tasneem, according to many scholars, is water in Jannah, a type of water in Jannah. But the word tasneem itself, what does that refer to? According to Ibn Qutaybah, rahimahullah ta'ala, as we mentioned before, Ibn Qutaybah is one of the scholars that focuses on gharib al-Qur'an, on unfamiliar words in the Qur'an or peculiar words in the Qur'an, and looking at their origin in the Arabic language and therefore what their meaning would be. He says, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that the word tasneem in the Arabic language comes from something which is high, ulu, something which is high. And that's why anything that is a mound or anything which is up high is called the sinam of something, right? So for example, the hump of a camel is called sinam al-ba'ir. The hump of a camel is called sanam al-ba'ir. And so sanam, because it's the highest part of the camel, is called its hump. And likewise, the mound of a grave, when a person is buried and they keep piling up the dirt or the earth on top until there's a mound on top of the grave, that is also in Arabic called tasneemul qabr. It's called the tasneem of the qabr. And so therefore he says the word tasneem comes from something which is elevated, something which comes from up high. And we'll understand why he says that and what the scholars then take from that. And Ibn Ashur, rahimahullah ta'ala, also when he was speaking about the Arabic language context of this, says something very similar, that is referring to also something which is up high. And he said also something, therefore, because the word tasneem comes from something which is the mound of something, or something which is the highest part of something. What is it referring to therefore? Mujahid rahimahullah ta'ala, he said tasneemun ya'lu, it is something which comes from up high. And Ibn Zayd rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that it's referring to a spring that will come from below the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will come from below the throne of Allah Azza wa Jal. And others said, and we'll mention the different statements, but some of them said that it is a waterfall in general, a spring that comes from up high, and its water comes down into the rivers of Jannah. And therefore it mixes with those rivers. And so that's what Allah Azza wa Jal is referring to. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhum, and in the commentary of this verse, there is also an overlap with the commentary of the next verse. Because Allah Azza wa Jal says here, وَمِزَاجُهُ مِن تَسْنِيم, that it's mixed with something called tasneem. عَيْنًا يَشْرَبُ بِهَا الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. And then in the next verse, Allah says, a spring that those that are the closest or the foremost will drink from. Okay? So there is an overlap in the commentary between these two verses, because many of the statements here are actually, there is a overlap between the two. And so just so that we are aware of what's going on. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma says that tasneem is from the purest or the greatest of the drink of the people of Jannah. It is from the greatest or the best of the drinks of the people of Jannah. And Likewise, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, Tasneem is one of the springs of Jannah. And Masruq also said that it is from the springs of Jannah. And Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah ta'ala said, he said, khafaya akhfaha Allahu liha al-Jannah. It is from the secrets that Allah azza wa jal has kept secret from the secrets of Jannah, for the people of Jannah. Meaning that we don't really know what Tasneem is, what kind of drink it is. We just know that it's something which comes from a spring. In terms of exactly what type of drink it is from that which Allah Azza wa Jalla has kept secret from the secrets of Jannah. Abu Salih also said something similar, that it's from the best of the drinks of Jannah. Qatada, rahimahullah ta'ala, said something similar. Sharabin sharifin aynin fil Jannah. It is a pure and honorable drink from a spring in Jannah. I already mentioned the position of Ibn Zayd, that it's a spring that will come from the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from beneath the throne of Allah azza wa jal, and it's going to be mixed with the khamar, with the rahiq al-makhtum, which is the seal nectar or the drink of wine. This will be mixed with it. Al-Dhahaq said that it is a drink that is called Tasneem, and it will be from the best of the drinks of Jannah. Malik ibn al-Harith is from the Tabi'een, met the likes of Ali radiallahu anhu and others. He was from the generals of Ali also, radiallahu anhu, in his army. Malik ibn al-Harith said that it is also a spring that you will find in Jannah. Al-Kalbi said that the word Tasneem comes from the root word of Sanam or Sanam, which basically means something which is high and elevated. And that's because this drink will come and pour forth from a elevated area, like a waterfall that will come down, and the people will be able to benefit from it. Al-Dhahaq also said something similar, that it's from the best of the drinks of Jannah, and that it will come from the highest part of Jannah. Muqatil said something similar, that it's called Tasneem because it is something which comes from an elevated position, and therefore it will pour down into their homes and into their rivers in Jannah. And that's like something which you will also find that it said. And Imam al-Tabari, rahimahullah ta'ala, after mentioning many of these different positions, says something similar, that it's something which comes from above. It's called Tasneem, إِذَا أَجْرَيْتَهَا عَلَيْهِ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ. If it is something which is poured from above, it can be called Tasneem, and that's why it's called Tasneem. It is something which will be mixed, he says, a water. وَمِزَاجُهُ مِنْ مَاءٍ يَنْزِلُ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ فَيَنْحَدِرُ عَلَيْهِمْ. It is a mix of water that will come from a spring above them, and it will mix with their other drinks. And Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala also said something similar, and that is that it is from the best of the drinks of Jannah. So some scholars of tafsir seem to be of the position that the word Tasneem, because it refers to something which is elevated, is a description of the drink, that it's the best or the most purest or the most noble of drinks. As we mentioned, Ibn Abbas and many of them, that's what they said, that it's from the best of drinks, and as Ibn Qayyim said also. So the word Tasneem isn't a physical attribute, it is a description of the drink. So the word Sanam is something which is elevated, something which comes from above. They understood that to mean a quality of the drink, that is from the best, meaning elevated as in the best. From above, meaning it is the best type, like number one, the top type of drink that you can have. And others seem to say, as Ibn Zayd said, and Al-Kalbi and others, it seems to be a physical quality. And that is that it's actually pouring from a spring that is above them, meaning that it's like a waterfall or something that is coming down. And Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best. It is possible that it is both. However, Imam al-Tabari in his position doesn't necessarily hold or say that it's something which necessarily is to do, like he kind of seems to go towards the position that it's to do with the physical quality, that it's something which is coming from above, because that is the meaning of the word Tasneem. And that's possible, and Allah Azza wa Jal knows best. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then in verse number 28, he says, عَيْنًا يَشْرَبُ بِهَا الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. A spring from which those brought near will drink. And that's the translation of Professor Abdul Halim. The translation of Dr. Mustafa Khattab, a spring from which those nearest to Allah will drink. A Sahih International, a spring from which those near to Allah drink. And Muhsin Khan, a spring whereof drink those nearest to Allah. And I wanted to get this verse in also because, as I said, it's very closely connected to the previous verse 27. The vast majority of those names that I mentioned to you, whether it's Ibn Abbas or Ibn Mas'ud or Masruq or Abu Salih or Qatada or Ibn Zayd, like many of them, have a statement that they mention. And that is that this is Sharabu Ahlil Jannah. This is from the best types of drinks of the people of Jannah, meaning this spring of Tasneem. Sirfun lil Muqarrabin wa yamzuju li ashab al yameen. This Tasneem, which is the best type of drink for those that are the closest people to Allah Azza wa Jalla, because we know elsewhere in the Quran, like in Surah Al-Waqi'ah and other parts of the Quran, there are three groups of people that Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. You have the Muqarrabun or the Sabiqoon As-Sabiqoon, as Allah mentions them in Surah Al-Waqi'ah. Those that are at the forefront, they are the forerunners, they are the closest to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And some scholars said, therefore, the Muqarrabun here are the Sabiqoon. The Muqarrabun are those that are closest, those who have been drawn near, and the Sabiqoon are those who are at the forefront. They said that this is what is being referred to. It is the same group of people. That's one group. The second group are those people who are the Ashabul Yameen, those who will receive their records in their right hands. So the Sabiqoon are the people who will have the highest levels of Jannah, Al-Firdaus and what have you, and the rest of the levels of Jannah are filled by the Ashabul Yameen. And the third group is obviously Ashabul Shimal, the people of the left, and they are the people of the fire. So the when Allah Azza wa Jalla says wa mizajuhu min tasneem, there is a mixture in which there is tasneem in the previous verse, and then he says aynan yashrabu biha al-muqarrabun, and then there is a spring from which those who are closest to Allah, those who have been drawn nearest to Allah Azza wa Jalla, they will be the ones to drink from that. And they are drawn nearer and closer to Allah, because as we know, the higher the levels of Jannah, the closer to the throne of Allah Azza wa Jal, as the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wasallam about the level of Al-Firdaus. Al-Firdaus a'la al-Jannah. It is the highest level of Jannah. Wa awsatul Jannah. It is the middle of Jannah. Wa fawqahu arshur Rahman. And he said, and above it directly is the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the higher the level of Jannah, the closer it becomes, it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the further away it is, the lower the level of Jannah, the further away it is from the throne of Allah Azza wa Jal. And so therefore, the people who are the Sabiqoon As-Sabiqoon are also the Muqarrabun. They are foremost in the sense that they did the most deeds. They did the greatest in terms of their competing for the prize of Allah's reward and His Jannah, and so they are the forefront. They will be the first to enter into Jannah. They will have the greatest of rewards. And from those rewards is that they have become from the Muqarrabun. They become from those that are closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Ibn Abbas and others make a distinction therefore, and they say the mizajuhum min tasneem is for the group who are from the right hand. Their drink will be mixed. Tasneem is mixed with the water or the wine. It's not a pure drink. For them, they're given a mixture. Whereas for the Muqarrabun, they're given it surf, they're given it pure, meaning only that drink of Tasneem, because it is the best drink in Jannah. So, you know, just like, for example, sometimes we have a drink, and because of how precious it is, you're only given the smallest sip, or it's diluted with water, right? And so therefore, like, its concentration is less, because the more that you put in of the original liquid, or the original drink, the greater the cost because of how precious it is. And so you're given actually a very small quantity, or it's going to be diluted with something else. Well, therefore, the people of the Yameen, not because of a lack of, or because it's going to end, but just to distinguish the levels of the people of Jannah. The people of the Yameen on the right-hand side, those who will receive their record in their right, and so therefore they're from the people of Jannah, they will be given that drink, but it will be a mixture. And it's a mixture for them, because there's a differentiation between them and the people that are from the Muqarrabun, those that are closest to Allah Azza wa Jal. For them, they are given that drink pure. They can have of it as much as they want, and therefore there is nothing that is to taint that drink. This is the position of Ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Masruq, like all these scholars of tafsir made the distinction between these two groups of people, Abu Salih, Qatada, Ibn Zayd, Malik ibn al-Harith, whose name we mentioned, Al-Kalbi, or Al-Kalbi to some extent anyway, all of them mention this as being the being the meaning of this. And Imam al-Tabari rahmahu ta'ala also said something like this. He said, عين يمزج بها الرحيق لأصحاب اليمين فأما المقربون فيشربونها صرفا. It is a spring that will be mixed for the people who are on the right side, meaning who received their record in their right hand. And as for those that are closest to Allah Azza wa Jal, they will drink from it completely. Meaning for them it will be pure and mixed, and therefore undiluted for them. And this is also therefore the position that was then taken by Ibn Qayyim and others. He said that the people of the Muqarrabun, يَشْرَبُونَ مِنْهُ بِلَا مَزَاجٍ, they will drink from it without any mixture. As Allah Azza wa Jal says, عَيْنَ يَشْرَبُ بِهَا الْمُقَرَّبُونَ, and he links it with the verse in Surah Al-Insan, where Allah Azza wa Jal says, عَيْنَ يَشْرَبُ بِهَا عِبَادُ اللَّهِ يُفَجِّرُونَهَا تَفْجِيرًا, that they will drink from it, the servants of Allah, this spring, and it will flow for them, or it will burst forth for them, or spring forth for them. And so that is the position of most of these scholars in terms of making the distinction between those two. The other point, or the final point in this verse number 28, is the way that the word is or the verse is structured in the Arabic language. And that is, as Ibn Ashur rahimahullah ta'ala says, that Allah Azza wa Jalla says yashrabu biha, and he doesn't say yashrabu minha. He doesn't say that they will drink from it, but rather he says that they will drink of it. Right? They will drink of it. And in most translations they don't really make a distinction. They just say those that are close will drink. So they don't really make a distinction between it. But usually what you say is yashrabu min al-ma. That person is drinking from the water. Or yashrabu min al-asir. He's drinking from juice. Or he's drinking from this, or he's drinking from that. And basically what that means is that he's drinking a limited amount. Right? So if you drink some water, like you fill a glass and you take from it, drink in a jug and you take from it, like you're taking from it, meaning that you're getting a limited amount. These scholars say that Allah Azza wa Jal here doesn't say that they will drink from it, as Ibn Qayyim also mentions, but rather he says, يَشْرَبُ بِهَا, to show that they will drink of it. Number one, to show that it is something which is pure, so they're not drinking from it, because when you say you drink from water, or let's say from juice, it could be diluted juice, juice that's orange but it's diluted with water. You're drinking from it. That's one meaning in Arabic language of minha. The second meaning is that it's limited in what you can take. When Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't say yashrabu minha, he says yashrabu biha. They drink of it, meaning of it purely, only. There is nothing else that is mixed or diluted in that drink other than tasneem. And number two, yashrabu biha, that they can drink of it as much as they like. So for them it is unlimited, whenever they desire, and as much as they desire. There will be no ending for them from this drink. And as we know, all of the rewards and blessings of Jannah are unlimited for the people of Jannah. They can drink of it as much as they like. And these verses therefore, according to this tafsir, show that there is therefore a distinction between the people of Jannah in terms of the level of reward. Every person in Jannah is satisfied. But every person of Jannah, that doesn't mean that all of their rewards are equal, but the rewards of the people who are closest to the highest levels of Jannah and Firdaus and so on will be even far greater and even better than the rewards of those who are lower. And so there are levels in terms of the drinks, in terms of the food, in terms of the level and quality, just as in the dunya there are levels in terms of this or that, in terms of one thing or another. And so for the people of the highest level, who are the muqarrabun, they will drink of it, meaning that it will be pure, number one, and number two, it will be limitless. And so therefore they can drink of it as much as they like, and Allah Azza wa Jal knows best. And with that, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to come to the end of today's class. And we come now, we're coming now to the very end of this surah, inshallah. We have just a few verses left, bidhnillah ta'ala, to conclude this surah. So if there's any questions, inshallah, we'll take them. Otherwise, we'll conclude for today. Okay, so I don't see any questions. So inshallah ta'ala, I will hopefully see you all next week. Barakallahu feekum. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.